Well, when I was growing up, some of my girlfriends and I would get together and convince each other we were telling the truth by saying ridiculous statements. I remember I used to say, cross my heart, hope to die, stick a needle in my eye. I'm like, oh, I said that, but I did. Or, you know, I swear on a stack of Bibles, I'm telling you the truth. And I don't encourage you as children to do that or encourage you to have your children do that. But for some reason, I would get with my girlfriends and we'd say that. And as we've gotten older, some people will say things. I've heard people say stuff like, I swear to God, or may God strike me dead if I'm lying. And whoa. You know. But for Christians, that those type of things should never be in our vocabulary. But even though those things should not be in our vocabulary, neither should things making promises to people that we don't intend to keep. That's really what that is. It's foolish things that we said as children or even as adults. But even as Christian women, we should not be making promises to people that we have no intention of keeping. It happens often. You might make a promise to a friend saying, you know, that she says, I want to share with you something that's confidential. Will you promise not to tell anybody? And then, you know, you break the promise and you tell somebody. Or you promise your kids. I've seen this happen before. It's heartbreaking. Promise your kids you'll do something special. Take them out for a treat, ice cream, pizza, or, you know, something really special. And then you don't do it. And you don't keep that promise. Or I've actually had this happen to me where I was supposed to meet somebody for lunch and, you know, certain time comes, they're not there. And sometimes they're 15, 20, 30 minutes late. And I had it happen a few times where they didn't even show up. And so, you know, that's not keeping your word. Or you tell your husband, well, you know, if he asks you to do something while he's at work, iron his shirts or do something for him and you don't do it. And you say, yeah, I'll do it while you're gone. And you don't. You haven't kept your word. And often we justify these things by saying to err is just human. You know, it's just, I made a mistake. But God says to lie is a sin. Now, you might say, well, what does this have to do with where we've been in James when we've been talking about being patient and enduring suffering? Well, think back to our last lesson. We just had the last lesson, last time, about being patient, looking at the patient farmer, the persistent prophet, and the patriarch Job. As we unpack just this one verse this morning, verse 12, you might say, well, how does letting my yes be yes and my no be no have anything to do with being patient during persecution? Well, ladies, if you've ever been persecuted, if you've ever feared for your life in any way, you know exactly the answer to that question. Often, in midst of a trial or persecution or a difficult situation, you know, maybe you're in a bumpy airplane and you don't know if you're going down or, you know, if you're going to make it, or a tornado. Or I remember being a little girl and being terrified of tornadoes and hiding in a closet. And so often we make rash vows. Lord, if you'll just get me out of this mess, I'll do whatever you say. Martin Luther, he did that right before he became a Christian. Remember, he was involved in a terrible thunderstorm. He was terrified. And remember, he cried out to St. Anne, St. Anne, St. Anne, save me. And if you save me, I'll be a monk, you know, just whatever it takes. And so in times of trial, that's why James is bridging over to this, because in times of persecution, suffering, difficulties, we often do not guard our speech and we make rash vows. And so the practice of oath taking or making vows is a logical subject for James to now address at this point in his epistle. And so he says in verse 12, but above all, my brethren, do not swear either by heaven or by earth, or with any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no, no, lest you fall into judgment. Now, we're just going to have a twofold outline here. There's just really two themes here. First of all, the sin of making rash vows, and that's in the first part of 12A, the sin of making rash vows. And then lastly, the sentence of making rash vows. The sentence, and the Greek word actually for judgment is sentence. So the sentence of making a rash vow in 12B. Let's look at the sin of making a rash vow. James says, but above all, my brethren, do not swear. James is saying, be very carefully on this point. Above all, this is a serious sin, James says. When you're going through times of suffering, be patient and do not make a rash vow. And ladies, during this particular time of stress and affliction of these readers, can you imagine? Can you imagine some of them might be tempted to say, Lord, would you please just give me the money I need for the day? I've got to go feed my family. If you'll just do this, Lord, I'll do this. Or they could beg the rich oppressors, you know, please, please, please give me the money that you owe me and I'll do whatever you say. Or making rash vows to avoid being persecuted. And that's what James is condemning here. Ladies, we must be careful not to take the Lord's name in vain by uttering hasty and irreverent oaths. And what example he's just given us in the person of Job. Job did not make any rash vow. Oh, Lord, after the 10 kids were killed. Lord, if please don't do any more. I'll do whatever you say. He didn't. And then, you know, everything else happened kind of like a domino effect. In fact, we can read Job and it says, in all this, he did not sin with his mouth. He didn't make a rash vow to God. He did not sin with his mouth. And so James says, above all things, my brethren, do not swear. Now, the swearing here is not profanity. But ladies, I would encourage you not to use profanity. Not a good idea. We don't want to be women who are known to have corrupt communication coming out of our mouth, right? So he's not saying that. But he is saying, we should not swear. We should not make a rash vow. Now, I do want to say this. Making vows or taking oaths in the Bible is not condemned. In fact, do you know that making a vow is actually encouraged in Scripture? Making a vow or making an oath or taking an oath is encouraged. Deuteronomy 10:20 says this, you shall fear the Lord your God and you shall serve him. Hold him fast. Take oaths in his name. God told the prophet Jeremiah, swearing in his name was a sign of spiritual maturity. He says, and it shall be, if they will learn carefully the ways of my people, to swear by my name as the Lord lives, and they will be established in the midst of my people, Jeremiah 12:16. So I'm saying all this to say the example of making a vow was acceptable. James is not condemning making vows. God doesn't condemn taking an oath. What is condemned here is making a vow or taking an oath and not fulfilling it, not doing what you say you're going to do. And so James says here, do not swear either by heaven or by earth. Now, what's he talking about? Because we, you know, we don't understand this. But in the New Testament times, they would understand it. The Jewish rabbis would teach their disciples that oaths were not binding if you would omit God's name. And so they would say, I'm going to swear by heaven, or I'm going to swear by earth, or they would even be the ridiculous, I'm going to swear by my life or my health. And so as long as I don't swear and put God's name in there, then I'm not bound to any oath I make or any vow I take. Today we would call that a loophole. But even in the Mishnah, it devotes a whole section to this elaborate way that they would take oaths and misuse them. And some people say they were actually disgraceful. There was swearing with words like, by your life, by my beard. I swear by my beard, you know. I'm thankful I don't have one of those, but swear by my beard. And they say it had gotten so ridiculous that lying just became the norm. You know, so I'd swear by this, swear by that, and kind of like today, right? Lying's become the norm. In fact, I have told my husband a lot in the last few months. I don't really want to watch much news anymore because I think it's all lies and I don't know who's telling the truth. And so if I'm not supposed to be lying or, you know, I would assume I'm not supposed to listen to them either. So, but we certainly have a lot of lying going on. To tell you how ridiculous it became, one rabbi taught that if you swore by Jerusalem, you were not bound to your oath. But if you swore toward Jerusalem, then you were bound because that's where God was. I mean, that's how ridiculous this had become. But, you know, Jesus says the same thing in the Sermon on the Mount. Remember, Sermon on the Mount and James are very similar. Matthew 5:33, Jesus says this, "Again, you've heard it was said to old, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform to the Lord your oaths. So I swear, I say, do you not swear, I say, do not swear at all, neither by heaven, why, for it is God's throne, neither by the earth, why, because it is his footstool." Right? "Nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Nor shall you swear by your head, because you cannot make one hair white or black," Jesus says. "But let your yes be yes and your no, no, lest you fall into evil." It's interesting. James says you fall into condemnation or judgment. And then Jesus says you fall into evil if you don't keep your vows or your oaths. Jesus says the same things James saying. It's all binding. No matter, you can't have all these loopholes to get out of your oaths. Ladies, if he says don't swear by God's throne, he says, wait a minute, I made that, right? It doesn't matter. Earth, heaven, anything, everything that we have and are is God. God is behind everything. He created everything. Therefore, if you want to swear by your beard, well, he made that too. And so the whole thing had become ridiculous when you think about it. So James says, let your yes be yes and your no, no. Let your yes be yes and your no, no. Turn over to Matthew 23. This is another sobering passage on making rash vows. Matthew 23, beginning in verse 16. Notice what Jesus says. "What are you blind guides who say, whoever swears by the temple, it's nothing, but whoever swears by the gold of the temple, he is obligated to perform it. You fools, you blind? For which is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifies the gold? And whoever swears by the altar, it is nothing. But whoever swears by the gift that is on it, he's obligated to perform it. Fools, blind, which is greater, the gift or the altar that sanctifies the gift? Therefore, he who swears by the altar swears by it and by all things on it. He who swears by the temple swears by it and by him who dwells in it. And he who swears by heaven swears by the throne of God and by him who sits on it." How ridiculous the Pharisees had become. Swearing by the gold in the temple was binding, whereas swearing by the temple that housed the gold was not binding. And Jesus says, you fools, you are fools, you are blind. All taking vows or oath is binding. And he begins to pronounce a series of woes on them. But you know, James and Jesus are not the only ones that condemn this. You know, it started way back in the Old Testament, Exodus. Exodus 27, "You shall not take of the name of the Lord your God in vain." That's part of one of the Ten Commandments, ladies. "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain." In contrast, James says, instead of doing that, let your yes be yes and your no, no. And guess what yes means? It doesn't mean maybe. It means yes, verily, surely, truly. And guess what no means? No, never, never may it be. Ladies, the way to avoid making rash vows is to be truthful about everything, right? Don't make a rash vow. Ladies, we as Christian women should say what we mean and mean what we say. We should have total honesty. I think that's often why we should say to one another, if the Lord wills, you know, I will be able to do this. I'm not sure if I will, but I'm by God's grace and his providence, I will be there. Deuteronomy 23 says this, "When you make a vow to the Lord your God, don't delay to pay it. For the Lord your God will surely require it of you, and it will be a sin to you. But if you abstain from vowing, it shall not be sin to you. That which has gone from your lips, you shall keep and perform. For you voluntarily vowed to the Lord your God what you have promised with your mouth. In fact, Ecclesiastes 5 talks about when you go to the house of God, be very careful about making a rash vow. Do not utter anything hastily before God. Why? God is in heaven and you're on earth, and let your words be few. So we should be very careful, especially in the house of worship, about making rash vows. And James didn't do this, but Peter, remember Peter, he made a rash vow. Remember when he denied the Lord three times, and the last time he denied it with an oath and with curses, and he said, I don't know the man. So I did it with a vow. I promise you, I'm telling you the truth. I do not know this man. And of course, we know that he went out and wept bitterly. Ladies, this should not be for us as Christians. I remember several years ago, my husband and I were doing business with a Christian business. I always, every time I see that fish, I go, I don't think so. That's terrible to say, but you know, you think the Christian businessman. And so I remember he would say, you know, well, I'll have the document to you by here this time, never came. I'll call you this time, never did. And it finally got to where everything he said he would promise he would do, he did none of it. So finally my husband had a come to Jesus meeting with him. You know what those are, right? It's like, okay, this is not right, and you need to be a person of your word. But it got to where we couldn't trust anything he said. But we all know people like that, right? And even Christian people that will make promises and never fulfill them. Now, I do want to say this for us as women, and I think it would behoove us all to read Numbers 30. You need to refresh your minds with Numbers 30, because these are vows that are especially that Moses deals with, that women, when a woman vows a vow to the Lord. And so just basically, I won't go back to that chapter, but just to say this, if you're a married woman and you make some kind of a promise to anybody or to the Lord, you're bound to it unless your husband gets you out of it. And so often I have, in fact, this happened just last night. My husband had an appointment, and I thought he'd be home at a certain time, but I wasn't sure. And I knew when he got home, he'd probably want dinner. So I had a 7 o'clock on the phone discipling. And so when I called the girl, or she called me, I think it was, I said, I just need to let you know, I know we're supposed to be discipling, but I don't know when my husband's coming home. And when he comes home, I need to see if he needs food, dinner. And if he does, that's my priority. And so sure enough, he came home 20 minutes early, so we only got 10 minutes on the phone. I put her on mute, and he said, yes, I'm hungry. So I said, I'm really sorry, but my husband is here, and he needs me. So for a woman, a husband can get out. If you're single and you're under your father's authority, according to Numbers 30, your father can get you out of your vow that you make. Now, for those of you that are widowed and single, I'm sorry, you don't get a king's ex. In Numbers, Shirley's laughing. In Numbers 30, it says, if you're a widow or you're divorced, a widow just means without, doesn't mean your husband's dead, you're just without a husband. So if you're without a husband or you're divorced, Numbers 30 says, sorry, yeah, Debbie's shaking her head, you got to do what you say. So you don't have a husband or a father to get you out of that. Sometimes I'm glad I have a husband. Like, honey, why get me out of this thing I said I would do? He goes, why'd you tell him you do that? I don't know. But ladies, back to the lesson, we really should just be careful about what we promise people, right? Let our yes be yes and our no, no. And sometimes I say, I hope to do this, or I'll try, but I'm just not sure. I just kind of need to see what's going to be really happening. But ladies, we should keep our commitments. You know, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 1:17, very interesting passage. He says, therefore, when I was planning to do this, did I do it lightly? Or the things do I plan? Do I plan according to the flesh, that with me there should be yes, yes, and no, no? But as God is faithful, my word to you is either yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, by me and Silvanus and Timothy, was not yes and no, but in him was yes. For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen, to the glory of God. What Paul is saying is, I'm not fickle like other people. If I say yes, I mean yes. And if I say no, I mean no. Why? He says, because God's word is yes, yes, and no, no. And his ministry was founded upon what? The word of God. In fact, in Paul's letter in Romans 9, he says, I tell the truth, in Christ I'm lying not, my conscience bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit. And so Paul, as much as possible, tried to have a clear conscience and to be truthful. Ephesians 4:25 says, let every one of you speak truth with his neighbor. Why? We're members of each other. Ladies, this should be the mindset of us all. Think before you speak. Taste your words before you speak them. Study scriptures about the importance of being truth tellers. Well, there's a reason that James gives us for why our yes should be yes and our no should be no, and it's a sobering reason. And so we turn from the sin of making rash vows to now the sentence of making rash vows. James says, lest you fall into judgment. Let your yes be yes and your no, no, lest you fall into judgment. Ladies, the reason James is warning us about making an empty vow or an oath is because we will fall into judgment. Failure to heed this command exposes us to the danger of judgment. We're going to give an account for it. We've been talking about this. James is very clear that the judge is standing at the door. We just saw that in our last lesson, right? He's standing at the door, ready to push the doors open. And so we're going to give an account for things that we've said we'll do and we don't do. James has been clear really throughout all of his epistle about being judged. In chapter 2, we saw that those who show no mercy will be what? Show no mercy on judgment day. We saw that teachers, in James 3:1, teachers are going to receive a stricter judgment for the things that they've taught and the way they've lived out what they teach. And so James has been warning his readers that the judge is coming and we're going to give an account to him. So James says, watch out. Let your yes be yes, yes, and your no be no, lest you fall into judgment. Now, what does the word judgment mean? Does not mean just punishment. Listen very carefully. That's why I gave it the word sentence. In the Greek word, it means the sentence is pronounced. The sentence is a decision that has resulted from the investigation from the judge, who's God, right? In fact, the Greek literally reads like this. It's a little weird wording, but it literally reads this. But you're the yes, yes, and the no, no, that not into hypocrisy under judgment you may fall. So, ladies, I interpret this. And remember, James is a book to test our faith to see if we're in the faith. I interpret this that if your life is signified by this, that you don't tell the truth, that you know, your yes isn't yes and your no isn't no, then as James says, he would be suspect about your faith. You're going to have a sentence pronounced on you of judgment, hypocrisy. And we know there's no hypocrites in heaven. Now you might say, well, Susan, those are really strong words. I know they are. Somebody was telling me the other day, she said, I'm trying to get my friend who's addicted to alcohol to listen to your James teaching. And she said, she started listening to your James teaching and she goes, that woman has no grace. And I said, well, you know what? James has no grace. So what do you do with that? I said, tell her to listen to On Our Knees or some of my other, you know, Philippians or some of the more encouraging teachings. But I said, I can't give grace where it's not given, right? James is black and white and there's no wiggle room there. And so I thought that was so funny, but maybe I don't have any grace. I don't know. But James is very clear. The judgment is pronounced already. The sentence has taken place. So we're in serious danger, aren't we? But it's not just James. Ladies, if you come to the end, the last book of the Bible, if you look at the book of the Revelation, you go to chapter 21, 22, you know what says those that are outside? Those who love and make a lie. All liars are outside. I mean, what do you do with that? It tells me that if we're in the habit of always lying, always saying I'm going to do something and I'm not, and I don't do it, then we are in trouble. And it's not me that's saying that. It's God through what? Through John, who wrote the Revelation, and who James, who wrote the Epistle of James. And of course, we could go through all scripture, starting with, you know, the beginning, that we're not to love and make a lie. So, how are you, dear readers, in the area of being a woman of your word? When you tell someone, you will pray for him or her, do you? You know, I will tell you, when this morning, actually on the way here, a lady texted me that I'd been counseling, and she said, something's getting ready to happen, and she said, would you pray for me? And I said, I will pray. And you know what? I find if I'm going to say that, do it right then. So right there in my car, on my way here, in fact, I was going over 1st or 2nd Corinthians. I can't remember which one in the car. And the scripture just happened to be perfect for her need, and I just prayed scripture for her. And so if you tell someone you're going to pray, do it right then. Don't let time lapse. Oh, I forgot to pray. When you sign up for a job or a ministry at church, are you faithful to be there and do it? I'm the head of women's ministry here, and I look for faithful women. I want women that are going to do the job they say they're going to do, right? I want to have faithful women. And so if a woman misses half of whatever church, whatever, I say, well, I can't put her in any leadership position because she doesn't even, you know, come to church 50% of the time. So you want people that are faithful. When you tell someone you'll be there at 9 o'clock, are you there at 9? Now, I know things happen, but you know, we all have phones now. We can say, hey, I got caught in traffic, or hey, my husband needed something before I left, and I'm going to be late. I'm really sorry. We have ways of letting each other know. When you say you'll pay your bill by the 15th of the month, do you? When you tell your kids you'll take them out for ice cream, do you? If you've ever taken an oath in court, have you told the truth? Are you keeping your marriage vows in sickness and in health? My husband says we said for better, for worse. And he says, honey, you got the worst. So good luck with that. But are you keeping your wedding vows? If you claim to be a Christian, which, by the way, is a vow, right? You made a commitment to God. Does your life show it? Can your word be trusted? When you say yes, do others know they can count on you? When you say no, do your children know that you mean it? Or does no in your home mean, keep pestering me and I will say yes eventually? I do know homes like that. I'm sure many of us can identify with the following quote. I thought this was good because I identified with it. I thought, Susan, how many times have you done this? He says this, I always try, I think, to do to be truthful. All the same, I tell a great many petty lies, things that mean one thing to myself, though another to other people. But I do not think lightly of it. Where I am more often wrong is pretending I hear things which I do not, especially jokes and good stories, the point of which I always miss, but I see everyone laughing, so I laugh too, so I don't look like a fool. My respect for the world's opinion is my greatest stumbling block, I fear. I don't know how many times I've done that, and I don't get jokes anyway. So I just laugh along and go, well, it's kind of like a lie because I really didn't get the joke. But how often do we do that? Or will somebody be talking and go, oh, that's really cool. And somebody was doing that to me. Oh, that's really neat. And I said, did you hear what I just said? It's not neat. You weren't listening to what I was saying. So how often do we do that? You know, that's one thing that being a counselor has forced me to do is really to listen intently. And I've become, I hope, a better listener because of that. But ladies, there's all forms of lying. And we cannot allow ourselves to shrug our shoulders and say, it's just human. It's sin. And when you lie to men, you're lying to the Holy Spirit, right? As Peter said to Ananias and Sapphira right before they were struck dead, you did not lie to men, but you lied to the Holy Spirit. And they were struck dead and carried out of the synagogue. We all know people whose word is a joke. They're undependable. Everything they say goes in one ear and out the other. They're like the boy who cried wolf. You know, you just don't listen to him anymore. Now, ladies, on the other hand, there are times when we're unable to keep our word due to unexpected circumstances. That's why I believe we should do what James says. If the Lord wills, we will do this or that. And I think I shared when we went through that lesson that as a minister, my husband being a minister, not me, but as a minister, my husband would often tell our kids, you know, we're going to do this, but hey, things happen, and often we're called away to emergencies, and people die, and people are sick, and we have to go minister to them, and so they understood that. But a lot of times, it really just boils down to not things like that, but just being unfaithful. When you fail in this area, do you seek forgiveness, or do you rationalize it? The world is looking for honesty, and I'm afraid they're seeing very little of it represented in us as Christians. So in closing, I want to give you 6 ways to ensure that your yes remains a yes and your no remains a no. And they all start with the word be. Number 1, be sensitive to the deception that lying is sin. Be sensitive to the deception that lying is not sin, especially little white lies. Ladies, not only is it sin, but it's heinous. Do not desensitize yourself to the truth. I know people, I have family members that lie so much they don't even know they're lying. It's really shocking. They lie so much they don't even know they're liars. Number two, be reminded of Matthew 12, 36, 37, which says, I say unto you, every idle word that men speak, they will give account in the day of judgment. For by your words you'll be justified, or by your words you'll be condemned. Matthew 12, 36, 37. Number three, you want to avoid this terrible sin? Be filled with God's Spirit. Be filled with God's Spirit. Ladies, my husband will tell often in premarital counseling to the couple, first session, walk in the Spirit, your marriage will be fine. End of marriage counseling. And then he laughs. But really, if we just are filled with the Spirit and walk with the Spirit, we'll be very careful about these things, right? If you're not walking with the Lord, if you're not walking with the Spirit, you're grieving him. You're dull to his voice. It says, that's not true what you just said, you know? Number four, be asking God to make you aware of the way you deceive others. Be asking God, Lord, how am I not being honest? You might be surprised. I remember one year my husband and I kept each other accountable for exaggerations, and that was very helpful. And we would realize, especially when we had people in our home for dinner, you might color the story a little bit to make you look good or someone else look bad. And I'd say, honey, we need to work on this. So for a year, we did. You're exaggerating. You're exaggerating. And it was very helpful for both of us. So find someone to hold you accountable. You might ask somebody that's close to you, do you see any forms of lying in my life? And see what they say. Number five, be feeding on the Word of God. Be feeding. If you want to be more sensitive to lying, feed on the Word of God. Ladies, when you feed on the Word and obey it, it will bring that truth. You know, you'll be more sensitive to any sin in your life. A truthful inward spirit is bound to produce truthful outward speech. And then lastly, be careful what you say. Ladies, think before you speak. That's why it says, don't be rash with your mouth. Patient is the spirit, you know, patient. Be, you know, you don't always have to say something, but when you do say something, make sure it's true. And believe me, I've had to go back and correct things so many times that when you do that, you know, you kind of just learn to just be quiet, because it certainly humbles us and causes us to be more careful with our words. Well, in closing, there's only one person that I know in the whole universe who's ever kept every promise he's made. That's Jesus, right? Our model, our judge, our example. And one of the promises that he's made to you and I is that he will return, right? The judge is standing at the door. He will keep his word. And so must we keep our word as well, ladies, lest we fall into judgment. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for this wonderful epistle. And Lord, I pray for myself, especially as a teacher, that you would help me to be a truth teller, to be careful about what I say, be careful of the promises I make. Lord, I just pray for all of us. I know that we get sometimes so lazy with our speech, and this is one of the areas that we need help in, and especially help us as the days get more challenging, that we would be guarded about making rash vows and making promises to you, even that we have no intention of keeping. Father, help us as we go now, that we would be faithful to live out your word before the world that is watching us, and give us strength in these days to be obedient to your word, for Christ's sake. Amen.